Hello, and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, the one college DJ who still hasn't heard that one Neutral Milk Hotel album. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex, the one guy Otella didn't say fuck you to, though they could have tried.
I am the Blue Panther. I'm the Black Panther's cousin that he never heard of.
Black and blue. It's a classic combination. They just forgot to invite him to the initiation ceremony.
I want to go see Black Panther. I can't see it until later this week.
Still waiting on some money to come in? Some free time?
No, both. Waiting on time to be a factor.
Ah, time. Time is a bitch, is it not?
Yeah.
It is there's an abusive woman. Or person. Why I say person?
Why did you say that?
I don't know.
It's okay. We can just glaze over that because there's more important things to discuss, like how this is episode 69.
Yeah!
Nice.
And if I may quote the ever fantastic William and Theodore, 69, dudes!
Whoa. Ah, wild stallions!
Back when Keanu Reeves had a promising film career.
Well, I mean, he's doing good now with John Wick.
And how long did that take?
I don't know, man. Do I look like I keep tabs on every facet of Keanu Reeves' career? Keanu Reeves nerds.
I mean, you're the math expert here.
The math? What does the math have to do here with anything?
It has everything to do with everything.
I didn't study Keanu Reeves' calculus, you know. They don't offer that in college yet. I know math memes, though. I know math memes.
I'm sure you do.
So, how have things been going for y'all this past week?
Well, okay on my end, just, you know, dealing with yet another tragedy going on in Florida at a high school, that whole thing. Props to those kids, though, being actual leaders, if only we had something like that nowadays, but, you know, that's hard to come by.
Hopefully they can all get shit done, something that so many other people fail to do.
Yes, hopefully. But other than that... Been a slow week on my end, haven't done much. Been relishing in my current state of unemployment by trying to relieve this fucking pain in my neck. I don't know where it came from, but my neck's been hurting like hell the past 3 days.
Well, gee, it sure sounds like your employment situation at the moment is a real pain in the neck. Really? Nothing?
You are so much better than that.
No, I am not. When are you going to learn that? I'm the guy who laughed that this is episode 69 of the podcast. You need to lower your expectations of my comedic prowess.
Okay, you're the bottom of the barrel shit stain. Happy?
Very happy. Actually, no, because I will never be happy. My life is a never-ending cascade of misery.
Well, isn't that everybody?
No. I am alone in this.
Well, at least you have alcohol to, help relieve the pain. I just have sugar.
And that zebra.
Wait, what zebra?
That's right.
The one that's in front of your lawn.
Yeah, I forgot about that. What were we going to do with that zebra anyway? I think we ditched the plan, but like we still had the zebra on rental, so like we just stuck it there. Mm. I don't even remember going to North Carolina. God, that must have been a fucking lot of booze. And yeah, moving on from that, obviously, as that intro suggests, I know me and Mark, for a fact, saw a certain movie this past weekend. Black Panther.
And
it kicked ass.
Fuck yes, it is amazing. I love this fucking movie.
Thank you, based God Marvel Studios. Holy shit.
Yeah, thank you, Marvel Studios. Thank you to the brother Ryan Coogler, and of course the cast, all the motherfuckers, and of course I mentioned the one Mr. Ludwig Göransson for the score.
Yes, that was a damn excellent score. And of course, let's not forget the soundtrack contribution from a Mr. Kendrick Lamar Duckworth and fellow associates at TDE.
You know what? I smile when I'm thinking, wow, I'm watching a movie where TDE does a soundtrack.
Disney commissioned Kendrick Lamar and Top Dog Entertainment to make a soundtrack for one of their movies. What a wild time to be alive.
We live in a world where the man formerly known as Titty Boy is on the soundtrack to a Marvel blockbuster.
Yep.
Remember, kids, anything is possible now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was basically, like, just the most hype shit. And I guess as far as anything else on my end, I did get my tax return recently. I'm not going to say how much it is, because I know Alex is going to reach through the screen and choke me once I mention the actual numbers. So,
yeah, that's definitely a good idea. Keep that to yourself.
All right, we'll do. And anything else on your end, Mark, before we move on?
Let's see. Not really, no.
All right, so let's actually get into this shit. We are, of course, as always, starting with the new song discussion of whatever shit came out this past week. So remember to check the description for a link to a playlist, which will have all these songs, or at least as many of them as can be found on YouTube for reasons. We'll get to that a little bit down the road.
So yes, we will.
So let's start off at the top with a triple dose of songs from last year's Double XL freshman, Kamea.
Yep, we actually pulled a fucking triple on us last week. Only I noticed that two songs released the week before then, and there's a new one yet. But yeah, anyway, she got these three songs. One's called, they're called Through the Night, Seasons, and Henny on Ice.
Which is apparently not the Yuri on Ice spinoff that I'm still waiting on.
One day.
One day.
So anyway, I'm just gonna. I'm gonna say for all three of them, like they all did. Like I will say, okay, first I'm gonna go with Henny on Ice. That was a bit, that was your club banger with, all of them got that smooth West Coast sound and we'll say with this one. Like, probably my least favorite out of them. Like it's cool. Like I can groove to it, but it's like, it's all right with the.
I guess there's not much to say here because it's just kind
of okay. Henny on Ice, yeah. On that Seasons, I do have a like a bit. I do like the whole synthy sound of it, and also like the feature verse is actually. A feature verse from somebody named Young T.O., who was also from the group S.O.B.R.B.E., a.k.a. that group you're on a certain soundtrack we keep mentioning.
But you forgot to pronounce the X in there. You always got to pronounce the X in there. It's like Hunter X Hunter. You pronounce the X. Otherwise, why else would it be there?
Just saying. But yeah, okay, yeah. But anyway, yeah, out of all the tracks, I like Seasons the most. Because I do dig the production on here, and as for Through the Night, this is definitely on there. And I will say for Kamea on there, like she's like this is more maybe a sing songy flow. Out of all of them, and I will say, she does continue, like flossing all that shit, and she does, she does continue her, I want to say raspy, but not sort of raspy.
I guess kind of like breathy and intimate.
Breathy and intimate with
vocal. Even going as far as to actually sing the infamous ad lib skirts. Which just sounds funny as hell, sung in that sensual voice. You know we floss, motherfucker.
Oh yeah. I've heard that line a lot. So yeah, all three of these songs, I will say there's some good in them. I will say I like one less than the other, but I can still say hey, they some jams. I'm cool with that.
They're alright, I suppose. Although I got to mention, Through the Night. Okay, quick question. Is anybody here familiar with the name Timmy T?
Why would you mention that?
Wait, hold up.
Because the beat of Through the Night literally sounds like that fucking Timmy T song. And, like, from that era in general.
Oh, no. Oh, damn.
Hold up. I have to listen to this. I know what song you're talking about. It's a fucking garbage song, but... No. I refuse to believe this.
Well, I mean, it's not as cheap sounding, but it does use a lot of the same, like, effects and shit. But, like, wait, are you listening to it right now?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, and, I hear it in the bass, but, like, nowhere else.
Nah, because it's that weird little effect thing. I'm not sure, like, I wouldn't call it the bass. It's more like that, look, I don't know a lot about electronics. It, like, just take my word for it, people. I'm not going to link that other song, but, like, you can find it. You'll search Timmy T and you find it. But we're stalling at this point. We got to move on. Yeah. So, going from that, going to my neck of the alligator and flocka-infested Everglade Woods. The band Wrong. They're basically, you know, Helmet, except, you know, new. They're dropping their sophomore record, Feel Great, coming out on April 20th. Yeah, blaze it! And so we have the first single from the album Culminate, which... Yes, this most certainly sounds like more Helmet's Worship. You have that slow, steady, like, off-kilter 7-4 chugging guitar rhythm, and, you know, that weird offbeat, like, drum pattern, just, you know, slow, it's pounding, it sounds kind of industrial as hell, that gruff vocal delivery, that's basically, again, just, like, so fucking Helmet as hell, and you even get that in, like, that super tremolo... almost kind of noise rock-esque guitar solo in there. Yeah, not much to say, but I mean, it basically does what it has to do. It's a banger, it's slow, it gets you to mosh a bit, and yeah, that's it.
Yeah, solid garage rock. I like the very lo-fi sound that they got going on in this track. But what was up with that middle section in the video?
What, you mean the moment they're going to the restaurant?
Yeah, where it turns into, like, Muzak for, like, 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah, when they're driving on the highway. I don't know, I guess they needed something interesting for the video. Because they didn't want, like, they wanted the heavy solo part to, like, concentrate, like, on when they're eating.
Cause I like, guess, that, you know, that is some mood whiplash right there, going from this, you know, heavy, lo-fi garage rock to fucking Muzak.
Yeah, isn't that a wild trip? And speaking of wild trips, moving on to this next song here. You know, one of my eternal guilty pleasures of new metal is Skindred, and I don't give a fuck what anyone says. When they are on, and they can lay down fucking grooves like no one's business, and Benji Webbis sounds badass as fuck, even if I can't make out half of what he's ever saying. But I guess I must have fell off the Skindred train, because last I ever heard of them was Kill the Power back in 2014, I think. And I guess they had another album after that. And now I hear they're coming out with a new album April 27th called Big Tings. Spelled like that exactly. Because, you know, reggae pronunciations and shit. And we have the lead-off single Machine. And literally my only note here that sums it up better than a lengthy diatribe. When did these guys turn into Velvet Revolver?
I said that too!
Holy shit! Damn!
Yeah, here's what mine says. The whole groove of it comes off like a Velvet Revolver outtake.
Yeah, it's like, I was trying to remember, there was one song that I think was like a single off, I forget which of their albums it was, but like I thought of like that instantly, I'm like, damn, these guys, what, like barely, like not even the reggae shit is even there, like you listen to like Benji Webe's performance and like you can barely tell like this used to be like a reggae new metal band.
Yeah, this came off as a little bit too 1980s strip club rock for me. So that leads me to ask, are these guys going to play the Whiskey A Go Go anytime soon?
I don't know, but I really hope this is just a one-off and they don't turn into one of those bands.
Yeah, this wouldn't be the best first impression for for anyone, really.
Well, at least I always have those older Skindred albums to go back to. Except for Union Black, because as far as I know, to this day, that one still has not gotten a proper release in the United States yet. And I had to resort to, like, clicking around on YouTube to actually find the full album, or at least playlist with all the tracks. Come on, why would you not have given that, like, a release yet? That's, like, Skindred's best album. That's even including the song with Jacoby Shaddix on it. But, that's neither here nor there. So, yeah, I'm not really looking forward to this album if this is all that there is, but I could be wrong. But now on to something that I absolutely am motherfucking holy shit goddamn hyped as fuck for, and that is the newest album from the anonymous Detroit hardcore slash metalcore collective, The Armed. This is, they announced their second, or possibly third, I'm not sure how they actually count these things, but yeah, their upcoming full-length album, Only Love, is coming out April 27th, same day, and this is following up Untitled, came out in 2015, which for me is one of the best albums of the fucking decade. It is the Jane Doe of the 2010s, and I fucking mean that with every goddamn word. It is fucking excellent. It's like if Meshuggah listened to a whole bunch of Converge and were like, let's do that. Or if, like, the other way around, Converge listened to a bunch of Meshuggah. But, yeah, we have the lead-off single from this album. It's called Witness, and naturally I should have been, like, I guess I didn't know what I was expecting, but that's the deal with this band. They always catch you off guard. So the thing you're listening to in this song mainly is, like, this massive swirling wall of noise kind of production. Like, the drums, the guitars, and the vocals all kind of bleed into each other. You can still kind of make out what everything's kind of doing. Like, there is kind of this off-kilter, like, 6-8 drum rhythm. But again, I think the tone of the guitarist kind of obfuscates the specifics. But it's definitely every bit as, like, off-kilter and abstract as anything on Untitled. Even going as far as, like, the vocals, which kind of have this more, there's still, like, the heavy screaming parts, but there's certain parts where the tone is more, moaning. You know, like, that really moaning, like, kind of emo, melancholic sort of thing. In fact, sort of as a whole, this thing is more like, it almost kind of feels like a better version of Death Heaven, by which I mean a version of Death Heaven that's actually listenable. But, yeah, like, I've been listening to this thing, like, quite a bit, because, again, the hype is just real for me on this one, and I'm like, goddamn, this is going to be fucking lit, hashtag fam.
Okay, well, while I was listening to this, I noticed that the song itself has a bit of an indie rock flavor to it with the structure. Like, I heard some of that in, like, the later half, sort of in the background, you know, behind all the noise. And watching the video, I realized, oh, this is what 2001 A Space Odyssey would be like if it had noise metal to it.
Actually, there's an idea. Like, you know how Giorgio Moroder rescored the original Metropolis? I should rescore 2001 with noise rock.
Yeah. And maybe put zero-G gravity boobies around there like in that Robot Chicken sketch.
Oh, please. I have more taste than that. It's gonna be booty, 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 booty rocking everywhere.
Okay, sure, whatever. Whatever will get people to watch Stanley Kubrick movies, sure.
But, yeah, that obviously concludes the hype segment, and now let's move on to, Glitch Mob. They're a thing, I hear. Mm-hmm. I've never gotten around to them, though, is the thing. So, yeah, apparently they're dropping some kind of new record, See Without Eyes, May 4th. So, yeah, week after they are. Huh, this is working out quite linearly. And, we have this, first song here called ID. Now, making notes on this thing was kind of tough, because, okay, the article we're pulling this from on youredm.com, the embed is, if I recall correctly, a Vimeo link that is, I guess, whoever got their hands on this single filming it being played on a record player, and it's pulling, like, the audio from there. Yeah. And apparently it's on a flexi disc, which from what I've heard is not, like, primo top quality, if I'm getting that right.
Pretty much. Flexi discs are not going to be the best quality audio.
But from what I can make out, it seems like a pretty solid enough track. You know, lots of those sort of chopped and screwed, like, poppy vocal samples, mm-hmm. those bursts of techno synths, the super, like, buzzy, like, bass line in there. I could kind of, like, groove to it a bit. But again, like, if there was, an actual proper recording and not just, like, a recording of the recording I could listen to, I could probably form a more full judgment. But that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always caught them every so often, usually on Attack of the Show now and then. Remember that show, kids? I bet you don't.
Vaguely.
Yeah, it was a good show at the time, but the track itself, it's a fine listen with more of a pop influence to what I know of these guys. It's not a bad thing, though.
I will say, like, I have heard, like, one time I heard a Glitch Mob is either them remixing stuff, but is he like, this one's pretty fine. I would like the better if I'd have heard the recording instead of just, well, like this. But hey, it's okay.
Somebody give whoever shot that video a turntable with a USB drive or port. That way you can have a direct audio interface to record it through. Ahem.
Well, I mean, unless Glitch Mob is going to sue you for doing that, then you're kind of fucked. But moving on from that, this track is another one of those where I just kind of have it on the brain because, again, it's on rotation at the station. The indie rocker Courtney Barnett, last year she dropped a pretty good collaborative album with fellow musician Kurt Vile, and now she's once again back on her own for her latest album coming out May 18th, Tell Me How You Really Feel. Which I guess is an appropriate title given the lyrical subject matter of this song, the lead single, Nameless Faceless. Which, first off, did Syriac Harris do the animation for this video? Seriously, it's like that same kind of fucking, like, I don't have words. Words are failing me. It's basically paper cutouts on meth. That's the best I got. But as for the actual song, it does kind of slot into, like, what I've heard of her before. You know, there's those, like, clean guitar tones, but with kind of a bit of a janky quality, as well as kind of, like, an atonal, melodically clashing, like, chord progression. The lyrics are, of course, about the anxiety of being around men and not sure if they'll harm you in some way, you know, because of fucking, like, pride and toxic masculinity, all that bullshit. It's an interesting enough listen. I think I like it more lyrically than I guess I do musically, although musically it's not that bad.
I got nothing for this. Y'all know how I feel about indie rock nowadays. It just doesn't really do anything for me.
Yep. In fact, I could probably go back to any previous segment of this podcast where we had to discuss an indie rock song, just splice in Alex's response from there to here, and no one would notice.
Yeah.
But moving on from that to the past week's entry in the still ongoing Adult Swim singles program. Let me just see here. Damn, we got like, what, three and a half months, I think? Yeah, 3.5 months until we...
It's channel number 44, and I'm guessing, it's like, you said, how many more months? 3.5 more months? Or?
Yeah, 3.5, I think that's what it is. But this week's single comes courtesy of a producer named Juliana Barwick with a song called Garland, which I'm not sure if that's named after anyone in specific. All I know is that the song itself is one of those pleasant zone out listens. It's mainly a loop of these like ethereal ambient vocals that kind of build on each other, almost kind of sounding like old school, like almost kind of like a monk or gospel choir with these minor like synthetic touches to just kind of accentuate what the vocals are all doing. And, yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I can do. This track is like, I mean, I was like maybe one or two times, but yeah, this is a very, you know, like an ethereal quiet, like an ethereal vocal type of track. That sounds heavenly, though.
Yes, it's a very heavenly, nice listen. Unlike... Look, do we really have to do this one?
Hey. This is episode 69. We have to make this the dankest episode ever.
Yeah, but there's a difference between making it dank and just, like, fucking all of our ear holes, you know? But fine, I suppose I have to, and I guess this is my punishment for making us all listen to Fallout Boy. So,
Goddamn, right it is.
So for the first time ever on this podcast, and one wonders if it'll be the last, let's talk about Attila.
Oh, boy. Ooh.
The preferred mediocre crunkcore band of college frat bros everywhere.
Crunkcore?
Yes, crunkcore.
It's basically deathcore, but they're singing about, like, bitches and shit.
Bitches and hoes, making money.
So basically, they're doing the same shit as most rappers do, but they're doing it in metal.
Well, I mean, on okay, so context. Attila has put out the song Call Out 2, which is, of course, a sequel to their track Call Out, where they call out a bunch of people. And this one very much sounds like you're just taking metal chugs and overlaying them over a bad trap beat. It even ramps up right from the beginning with, "Yo, buckle up, motherfuckers! No one is safe! This is Call Out 2, bitch! Let's go!" And yeah. So it proceeds from there with the following gold nuggets of wisdom. Fuck a stupid racist. Fuck a terrorist. Fuck a politician. They can suck my fucking dick. Fuck a Buddy Nielsen. Fuck a stupid coward. Fuck a Jeffree Star. Lipstick on this big dick. Fuck a record label. Fuck this industry. Fuck a handout. Bitch, nothing is for free. Well, fuck you too, asshole, for getting in the way of the communist revolution. Fuck a Danny Warsaw. Oh. Fuck a Dennis Stoff. Fuck the band Attila. Psych, we're the fucking shit. Yeah, that's the level of wit we're in with this band, in case you can't tell.
True poetry, if there ever was.
And of course, fuck a Logan Paul, fuck a Rice Gum, fuck a Bad Baby, these hoes ain't shit, fuck a Harvey Weinstein, fuck a fucking rapist, fuck an Offset homophobic little bitch. Yeah, he's dragging Migos into this. Fuck the stupid Grammys. Fuck your radio. Fuck a Martin Shkreli. Yo, seriously, this dude raised the price of a life-saving drug by 5,000% so people go fucking die. Fuck a damn religion. Fuck a Westboro Baptist. Fuck a Stingray. Rest in peace, Steve Irwin. Wow, that's such a bad joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck a Tim Lambesis. Fuck the band Immure. Fuck Conor McGregor. There's nobody ? Which I just want to point out, at this point in the song, it's the musical equivalent of that meme, the one where 60 Spider-Man is angrily confronting himself.
Yeah, because when it comes to Attila versus Immure, they're practically the same. They're all terrible people. Well, at least Chris What's-His-Name and Frankie What's-His-Name are.
Chris Fronznak or Fonzie?
Yeah, yeah.
And Frankie Pomegranate or something?
Chris Fozzie Bear and Frankie Palm Mute.
Palm Olive. Fuck a Ronda Rousey. Fuck a Tom Brady. Gronk, you're fucking sick, though. Fuck a Tyler Carter. Fuck a 6ix9ine. And the only part of the song that got me to laugh a little, fuck a pineapple on my goddamn pizza. That's the one thing I can agree with him on. You fucking assholes with no taste. Fuck a 9 to 5. Fuck this stupid song. Fuck wearing a condom, bitch. Pullout game is strong.
You want to know the best part of this? This was put up on their official YouTube page, and it got copyright claimed by them, because the YouTube algorithm loves to strike when you least expect it.
Oh my god, that's better than cable TV.
What in the blue squawky fuck?
It's called the YouTube algorithm.
It's a bitch and a half. Just like everyone who was involved in this goddamn song.
Yeah. Although I will agree on him on a few points, namely the fuck you to Logan Paul, Harvey Weinstein, Rice Gum, Offset, Tim Labesis, and for the hell of it, Danny Warsop and Tom Brady. And fuck you to Attila. Your music is garbage. Your fucking garbage computer-generated metal has made you the fucking ass pimple of the core scene. I hope you enjoy that Hot Topic money, because that's all you're ever gonna fucking get.
And you know what? I am actually sincerely hoping this reaches Chris's ears, so that way when he writes Call Out 3, he fucking, like, tries to go after us, and I'm like, bring it, bitch. Anyway, let's move on from the bitterness to, oh, what's that? New Frank Ocean, I hear?
Oh.
Kinda new.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of new.
He released a song, a cover of an actual classic movie soundtrack song, Moon River, from the 1961 classic Breakfast at Tiffany's, which you may remember from the ever-so-classic romance song by Deep Blue Something. Hey, remember Breakfast at Tiffany's? We both sort of liked that movie. I don't know where I was going with the reference. But, want to talk some Frank Ocean here, Mark?
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, since I think I know who, I might have heard rumor before, maybe through passing, or some random, but, okay, Frank Ocean's version, okay, it's pretty alright, you got the guitar on there, it's very sparse, you know, vocal performance on there, which is pretty good. It's definitely, you know, it is some that has, you know, Frank Ocean stamp on it. And the instrumentation is very, I would say, somewhat experimental, although it's more like I said, just, you know, just a very sparse guitar, and that's it.
Yep, that's it indeed. I didn't even take notes on that because Mark basically summed it up perfectly. But now let's move on to the last song this week. And wow, it's really, how many months has it been since last May? Because that was the last time we ever had to talk about Muse, and now we have to talk about them again. So they've
with
released
the added benefit of memes.
Yes, memes. They've released a new song called Thought Contagion, which, according to them, is inspired by the concept of memes as promoted by that douchebag Richard Dawkins. He didn't even account for, like, the possibility of dank memes, so, like, you know, fuck that loser.
Ugh.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting the video picks up pretty much exactly where the music video for their single from last year, Dig Down, did. And I will say, at least this song technically has more guitars in it. And it's not an annoying, like, moody, low-key dub thing. But this, I don't know, man. I've forever said it that I will not get what Muse's appeal is or what they're even trying to do. They just sound like one of the most insecure bands currently active right now. Like, the structure of this thing is fucking repetitive as shit. There's just a lot of, like, all I remember is, like, a lot of kind of vocals. The guitar groove is, like, basic as shit, apart from, like, some awkward, like, note accentuations here and there. And the electronics are just awkward as hell, and, like, I don't give a shit about what kind of meme shit that fucking whatever the hell the dude's name is singing about, but unless it involves Dead Boy, I don't care.
Well, at least this song is more listenable than the last one they did, which I couldn't bother trekking through. So I made it through this track unscathed, but yeah, this is what I would expect from modern-day Muse. You know, since they decided to not be a rock band anymore. remember when Muse used to be a rock band? Like, back in, like, 2005?
Insert Stockholm Syndrome performance thing here.
Yes. And also, is this video just the Cliff Notes version of Ready Player One?
I hope so. That way I have double the excuse not to see that movie.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a hot mess.
I mean, I saw the trailer when I was seeing Black Panther. I still think the movie looks boring as shit.
It's going to be a hot mess.
But Mark, look, we have the Iron Giant, and he's gonna be fighting the RX-78. These are references, you know. Please give us your money.
Yeah, I'm gonna see Pacific Rim the other theater down.
Yes, that's coming out too. Damn, we will all do that.
We got a good year of movies coming up.
Because we know what they say, chicks dig giant robots.
Nice.
But yeah, that basically covers all the new song discussion. We managed to make it through unscathed, for the most part. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some news topics to discuss. So see you in a bit. Back. So to start off at the top with these news topics, before the break, when we were chatting in the interim, we were grousing about how much longer it's going to take until the list for Record Store Day 2018 gets finally announced. Most likely we'll have to be waiting another month if last year was any indication, but we do have some interesting news here. The official ambassadors for Record Store Day 2018. You know, they do this every year. Last year was St. Vincent. Years before, they've had people like Metallica, Ozzy Osbourne, Jack White, and Chuck D. And, of course, this year, it is the official hip-hop group of Surreal Resolution and the Decibel Boost podcast, RTJ! RTJ!
Bring me my scepter and ceremonial robe.
Yes, bring LP his royal shit. I was told I could park anywhere now. I actually haven't clicked. Oh shit, there's a video. I didn't actually click on this. Damn, I wanted to watch this. Maybe I'll watch it when we're done recording this.
Yeah. And apparently there's going to be something for Record Store Day from these guys, as they have done for the past couple of years.
Yeah, I think last year it was some kind of, I want to say it was a special unique tote thing, and the year before that was like a special vinyl of some kind.
They've done
it was
totes.
The 3D thing.
They've done totes, they've done the little VR headset, little Google Cardboard thing. They did do a 12-inch vinyl release, which I own because I'm cool like that.
Yes, you are.
And they'll be reportedly releasing a, quote, deluxe collector's edition golden box set, whatever that may entail.
Well, obviously, it's going to include their beer. I hope so. Seriously, could you imagine if you bought like a box set of RTJ vinyl and it came with like, you know, a six pack of Stay Gold? But yeah, I guess we just have to wait for that list to come out already. Dang it!
Let's say Record Store Day takes place this year, April 21st.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so at least a month before. And moving on to the next bit of news here. A conspicuous tweet popped up on February 15th, 2018 at 1:12 p.m. from @_BrendanSmall. Apparently, there's going to be a live-action short film adapting Galacticon.
Nice.
Now, the counter said 1 week from when that tweet was posted, so, okay, right now it's February 19th, this episode's going up the 21st, so this short is going to be up either by Wednesday or by the day after, so probably the day after you're listening to this, it'll be up.
Mm-hmm. It claims to be a live-action, high-stakes, intergalactic metal short film, which is very on-brand for Brendan Small, and I should also point out the original teaser on Twitter has 666 likes.
As we're looking at this. I am avoiding clicking like right now just because I need that ratio to stay perfect.
If in any case, I am screenshotting this for all of time.
Same here, Ming. Same here. But yeah, looking forward to watching that as soon as it drops. You know, assuming I'm not at work or anything.
And we'll talk about it next week.
Yes, we will. Moving on from that to Netflix projects. I hear they're into doing those things, apparently.
Yes, they even brought back Joel McHale to do his old shtick, which is awesome, and you should watch it.
And I should.
You're just saying that because one of the producers or writers follows you on Twitter.
And also because I've missed the soup for such a long time.
Ah, don't we all miss the soup?
Yeah, we all do.
But anyway, moving on to a future Netflix production. This is, of course, coming courtesy of Mr. Gerard Way, former frontman of My Chemical Romance. They're producing an adaptation of his comic book series, The Umbrella Academy, with the plot of which apparently revolves around a family of five mutants who try to solve the mystery of their father's death. Mm-hmm. I assume mm-hmm. someone listening to this maybe has read it. I never bothered.
Think X-Men meets Four Brothers. The actual movie, not the Rick and Morty bit that is two brothers.
No, it's Four Brothers. They did a sequel. It's called The Four Brothers. It comes after Three Brothers. So they've been... this project's coming out sometime later this year. It's going to be 10 episodes. Currently, as far as the cast list, we have Ellen Page, Tom Hopper, and Emmy Raver-Lampman. And according to various sources, they've now cast Mary J. Blige, who actually has a couple of nominations for her involvement with the movie Mudbound, you know, over at the 2018 Academy Awards. According mm-hmm. to the information here, she's playing a hit woman named Cha-Cha, not to be confused with Chi-Chi, a ruthless and unorthodox hit woman who travels through time to kill a signed target. So wait, she's a looper?
Okay, Mary J. Blige and Looper. But
okay. Hopefully it'll be better than the actual movie, which was, yeah.
I never watched it.
Hayden Christensen trying to act. That's all you need to know.
Oh, wait, hold up. Wait, was that Jumper? Because Looper's the movie with...
That was Jumper. God, I am getting my movies all mixed up. Yeah, that was Jumper. Yeah,
Looper's the one from Rian Johnson.
Yeah,
one with friggin' Tom
Bruce Willis from
the Sun. Yeah, never mind. Yeah. I got my movies mixed up.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you pleb. Even I know this.
Yes, I'm aware. But I know him as Tommy from The Rock from the Sun.
Nerd. But I guess at some point I may end up watching this. Just if I have a weekend to kill and there's really nothing else on the Netflix. I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about Umbrella Academy, so I'm not really sure what I should be expecting here. Maybe it'll be like a dark comedy, like, I don't know, Breakfast Monkey or something.
Okay.
But moving on from that to the annual Tool Rumor Variety Show Hour number 437.
Here we go again, folks.
But we could bring this up basically every episode, because every week there's a new goddamn rumor, but... I want to call attention to this one because of the circumstances surrounding it. Okay, so obviously there's been considerably more build-up as more and more musicians have been saying, hey, we've heard, you know, the new material, and band members are, you know, insisting that, you know, music is done, lyrics are being handled, all that usual shit. But a couple of tweets that Maynard James Keenan posted to his Twitter account, and what's weird about these is that they're more... candid and sincere than the usual updates. Well, at least as sincere as you can get, considering this is fucking Maynard James Keenan. So, just a couple tweets here. I'm gonna read them word for word. Damn it, why did it skip down? Skip up, you goddamn article. Alright, so, quote, started getting music files from the boys with the word final in the title a few months ago after 11 years of begging. That, in theory, means the tracks won't change out from under me while I'm trying to write stories and melodies to them. In theory. Still waiting on the final on one. But way ahead. Words and melodies 100% done on all but one. Someday we'll track them. Long way from the finish line, but at least we're closer. Meanwhile, new at a perfect circle release on 420. Hashtag, while you were whining, I was working. Hashtag, there's your update. Hashtag, eat the elephant. Hashtag, perfect circle 2018.
Jeez, okay. Salty, aren't you, Maynard?
Well, I mean, there's less salt here, I suppose, but it's still like, you know, like in Breath of the Wild when you get those big old rocks of salt.
It's like, think about it like this. the wait for a new Tool album and Kingdom Hearts 3 have been freaking parallel to each other. Of course people are going to be antsy. They've been waiting 12 years for it.
And plus, unlike with this new Tool album, we've actually seen some substantial footage of Kingdom Hearts 3. Including music. So they got you one-upped on that regard. But yeah, this plus, I think one of the other members, I forget if it was Danny or Adam Jones, saying that they're going to head into the studio hopefully by March or April to record this shit. Yeah, there are things happening. Perhaps we might actually get some forward momentum.
So it's all a matter of what comes out first.
Or could you imagine if these came out in the same week?
I think the universe would implode if that happened.
Yeah, so would my wallet. Because you know I would be there day one for both of those. Give us the release date already, Tetsuya Nomura!
Yeah. Just be in line at Best Buy. Oh, wait, they don't sell CDs anymore. Never mind.
Damn. I was hoping to knock out two birds with one stone. But anyway, moving on from that, to an update on one of last week's stories. So, for a while, rumors were circulating involving some kind of countdown clock on a website, you know, for the Smashing Pumpkins and everything. The clock has finally run out, and what is left is a list of tour dates. So, in fact, this is a reunion tour that we can be expecting from the, well, 3/4 of the classic Smashing Pumpkins lineup. Sans Darcy Redsky, because we can't have nice things now, can we, Mr. Billy? So starting this summer, Corgan, Iha, Jimmy Chamberlain, and Jeff Schroeder filling out on bass will be going on the, let me see if I can find the tour name here, the Shiny and Oh So Bright Tour, kicking off July 12th in Glendale, Arizona, which will be running through exclusively material from their first five albums. So, Gish, Siamese Dream, Adore, Machina, and the seminal classic Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
Nostalgia galore!
Yep, and let me actually take a look at the dates here, and oh damn, they're actually playing down here in July, holy shit. Yep, American Airlines Arena, that sounds about right, and yeah, they're basically touring all the way up through, you know, fucking September in Boise, Idaho. At the Ford, Idaho Center. After playing at the Pepsi Center in Denver, Colorado. The Vivint Smart Home Arena in Salt Lake City. And the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada.
But at least you're not the KFC Yum! Exclamation point center. Or the PPG Paints Arena.
What about the Little Caesars Arena?
Yeah.
Or the Sprint Center. Or CenturyLink.
The Taco Bell Arena?
Arena names are funny.
These are very strange, strange places. Toyota Center! And oh my god, there's also an American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. Man, what is it with brands? Like, I remember there's a venue in West Palm Beach. The name changes rather frequently. I think at one point it was called, I think it was like the Crujian Amphitheater after like Crujian Rum. And now I think about it, I think there's a venue in Tampa called the 1-800-ASK-GARY Amphitheater. Really?
What?
I don't know, man. I don't make the rules for naming these venues. All I know is, I'm not sure I'm really feeling this. Like, even if it is, like, the good Smashing Pumpkins albums, things seem sketchy with the fact that they wouldn't even bring Darcy with them. Bastards.
Yeah.
But let's move on to our last story this week. A big festival announcement, of course. This year's iteration of the Reading and Leeds Music Festival. Hey, I actually pronounced it right this time. Let me see if there's the... Shit, I think I lost track of the date. Yeah, August 24th through the 26th in, you know, Reading and Leeds, clearly. It alternates between the two. So, we're going to run down what we know of the lineup here. This is just round one. Obviously, these things expand and bloat over time, just like any game that's being overseen by Electronic Arts. Burn. So, Alex, you actually want to get us started with the Friday lineup?
Sure. So, how this works, Reading and Leeds, for those who don't know, is sort of an alternating lineup. For instance, Friday at Reading, Saturday at Leeds. Saturday at Reading, Sunday at Leeds. And Sunday at Reading, Friday at Leeds. Right. For clarification, we're just going to go through the Reading lineup. That way, everybody's, you know, functioning in the brain.
Right.
So, for Friday, your headliner for Reading is... Fallout Boy.
And Post Malone.
At least one of those makes up a good meme.
Got a sauce.
Yeah. I would much rather take sauce than spelling that shit any day of the week.
Go on.
But moving through here, we have Wolf Alice, Nothing But Thieves, Annie Mac, Mist, The Blaze.
Oh, under, fucking why?
Under O's. I don't know how you say it with the fancy O.
You call it the cover band of Under Oath, currently known as Under Oath.
Okay, we have IMDDB, all one word, because why not? We have Bicep Live.
Oh, God.
Lil Pump.
Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
I cannot bring myself to do that because I value my sanity. And rounding out this list, we have Belly, Frito, Kojo Funds, Creeper, Water Parks, Hudson Taylor, Dreamwife, and Miss Banks.
All right, so now to kick it over to me so I can cover the Saturday Reading lineup, where you actually get a good headliner with Kendrick Lamar.
Yo!
Of course I'm going to come Saturday.
I have seen clips of his arena tour in Europe right now. Oh my God, I want to go to that show so badly.
And then on that same day, you have to deal with Panic at the Disco. Why aren't they playing the same day as Fall Out Boy so I can just avoid both?
I think the story goes, if both of them are in the same range from each other, the universe will implode.
Yeah, I just assume this means Fall Out Boy is going to pull out This Ain't a Scene. You know, because people care about their fucking dick-waving contest with Panic. But anyway, moving on from pesky band drama, following that, you have a Dua Lipa, you know, the chick that tries to sell you Google phones, who does music too, I guess. Oh, hey, Sum 41 are still around. Hey, guys. Remember when you were cool, when you had your original drummer? I remember. Sigrid, Netsky, B2B, Jaws, B2B, Slushy.
What the hell?
Oh, shit, Brockhampton, nigga. Seriously, have any of you guys seen that performance they did on MTV's TRL? Oh, my God, that is the best thing MTV has aired this entire decade. Okay, maybe this about, century.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
I'll have to look this up then.
The thing is, hard about it until I realized. Oh, Brockhampton's like, wait, TRL's still a thing? But this shit would have got camp.
We
canceled.
Talked about that a while ago.
Yep, we did. Moving on, there's of course Wretch 32, Young Gen, whatever. Oh my God, Papa Roach.
What the?
How is Papa Roach still a thing? I thought they called it quits after their awkward gent phase.
Oh God, it actually happened? I thought that was like some kind of aberration. Oh, nope. And by the way, they have the number one song on the mainstream rock chart right now.
Oh my God, you gotta be shitting me.
Right behind Greta Van Fleet, then Pop Evil, Royal Blood, and Spit Out the Bone is still at number 7. Because nobody likes quality anymore.
Clearly not. But anyway, moving on from that cringe, there's Playboy Cardi. The Magic Gang, Pale Waves, A Boogie Wit Da Hoodie, then Beartooth, and finally Nothing Nowhere.
It's better than the Friday lineup, that's for sure. If only, you know, by a small margin.
Actually, I'd say a big margin because Kendrick and Brockhampton. Yeah. That counts for a lot.
I would sit through Papa Roach 741 and Beartooth to get to that.
Yeah, so now we're going to throw it over to Mark to wrap things out here with the Sunday Reading lineup.
Okay, okay. So that was Sunday. We have Kings of Leon. They're still a thing?
Apparently, I guess. They're still a thing.
Okay. Then we got the Courtineers? The hell is that?
Courtineers? Something like that?
What did they name Courtney? I don't know. Oh, it's Skepta. Oh, Skepta, nice.
Oh, yeah, I caught a bit of his set when he played down here at 3 points. That was pretty fun.
Right, yeah. Got the Wombats. Jay Huss. Not Jay Huss. Okay. Diplo. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You had a show on Viceland once, I think. Or at least you got James Vanderbeek to do you or whatever. Okay. Hannah Wants. What?
I don't know.
We don't know, man.
Probably some cocaine.
Damn. Okay. Here we got Tom. Okay, we got Tom Grinan, AJ Tracy, Mr. Easy, Ski Master Slump God.
Ah, boy.
Hollywood Undead.
Oh. Oh
my God! Why?
Why are they still around?
Okay, I don't know. Hines, my new Ling, Nadia Rose, Suicide Boys, Magician, Geets, and Raiton and Kylo Ren.
Possibly. I mean, he's got to do something while they're waiting on the green light for episode 9.
So, that's Sunday Reading Friday leads.
And there will be more to be announced later, according to them.
Yes, so obviously we'll have to keep an eye out so we can update you all on this shit as it updates. So, I mean, we'll do that, and maybe we'll get a better sense of the bigger picture. But, this lineup, I'm only feeling about, like, 20% of it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I guess now that covers all the news topics, so let's move on to the new album releases for February 23rd, 2018, of which, not much.
Wow.
Not much.
Fuck you, it's February.
Yeah. But obviously we gotta wait till March for the hype shit. Oh hey, I made a typo here, I just noticed. Thank you, Microsoft Autocorrect. But yeah, of course we have the newest record from Turnstile, with Time and Space. A new album from indie rocker Vance Joy with Nation of Two. New album from Black Milk with Fever. And a new Screaming Females album, All at Once. So yeah, that's basically about it. So let's sign out and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
I am everywhere on the internet, as always. Or of Azure is my handle. And if you find me, say hi. I'm a very friendly person when you get to know me.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, you can find me on Twitter at MacTHybridMedia. And, of course, on my site, The Mind of Hybrid One, at thehybrid1.wordpress.com. Recently, of course, I did my review of Black Panther. And sometime this week, I'm going to do a review of that gambling anime on Netflix. Because I can't say the dick, because I can't say the name without fucking it up.
Kakegurui?
Yeah, that one.
That one. All right. As for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, if you have questions, comments, offers, and, you know, you want to send me some dank memes. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. Audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend over on the YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution, which you can find by just searching the name Surreal Resolution, subscribing, and hitting the bell tab so you're always notified when new episodes go up there. Be sure to follow the website, surrealresolution.com. Follow us on Twitter at SurrealReslo. Like us on Facebook. You know the whole shebang by this point. Be sure to listen to any past episodes if you want to hear us, just if you just plain like us. And of course, be sure to listen to other podcasts like Podcast ONA, which is now finally, from what I hear, on Google Play and iTunes.
Yes, it took freaking long enough. And you subscribe now, you're going to enjoy the next episode we have coming out in a couple of weeks. It's going to be big.
Hope so.
Okay, all right.
Be sure to keep up with our written content. Hopefully my Daubry review will finally go up this week. Mr. Tyler said he would be looking at it tonight. You bastard. You bitch. And, yeah, it's basically what I have left to say on that end. So, as always, shout out to producer Mr. E for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us for the monumentous episode 69 of the Decibel Boost podcast. Be sure to join us next week for the probably less exciting episode 70. And until next time, you better scramble like an egg before you get folded like an omelet.